Let's do a podcast, Stu, shall we?
Yeah, I think we should today.
Yeah.
Not yesterday. I wasn't feeling it yesterday, and that's right. Why I said no. I will stand up for my rights and do no podcast yesterday.
Yeah, but today, we're back here hearts, slaving over a hot computer for you. Well, we're here. Okay?
We showed up today.
Got a good podcast for you. I got a few things to say about, you know, the budget. A few things. We have some good news. We have some incredible news about farming. Because when you want to fix farming, who do you go to? Stu, quick, just off top of your head.
The World Economic Forum.
Yes, and John Kerry. It's fantastic. Oh. We have all of that. He and Teresa get their hands dirty all the time in farming. So we've got a great podcast for you, and it is brought to you by Relief Factor. Still haven't bought it yet, huh? I mean, I just talked to you last week. Just talked to you as an audience. What are you doing? What are you doing? You want to make these Relief Factor commercials stop? Then just buy it. Try it, okay? But no, you couldn't get it done. So here we are again. Let me tell you about Relief Factor. It's fantastic. My wife made me take it, and 3 weeks later, I'm a believer. I still take it today, every day. Call right now, 800, the number 4, Relief. Just try it for 3 weeks, see if it works for you. Doesn't work for everybody, but if it works, it really works. ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com. Feel the difference. Here is today's podcast.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Welcome to the Glenn Beck program. Took my grandson to the Indy 500, and it's unbelievable. And Indianapolis is the greatest city, and possibly in America.
And I spend a lot of my free time attending sporting events. That's one I've never done. It's
great. I love it. I love it. I haven't been there in 30-some years. I was a little spooked because the last time I went, it was the year where there was a crash and the tire clipped the head of somebody.
Oh my gosh, yeah, I remember that.
And this year, right at the end of the race, tire came off the car and went over the audience, and I'm like, it's me, isn't it? I cannot come to Indianapolis ever again. But nobody was hurt, thank God, this time. Anyway, let's continue our conversation about some of the things that are going on that are just so great with Target. Target, we told you now that they are all in. And they're spending all kinds of money to make sure that your kids get the message that you don't have to tell mom or dad that you're transgender. And I want to thank Target for that. No, I didn't know I was funding that when I would shop at Target, but now I'm glad I know, so I can support them. Now, do you remember the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence?
I do.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Stu. I was waiting.
I thought it was sort of a hypothetical.
No. I just really needed to know if you remember.
I do remember. They're the Catholic, anti-Catholic group.
Yeah.
That does really nice dancing on the cross. They use it as a stripper pole.
Yeah, that's great.
And a bunch of men dressed as women go up there.
And Jesus is on the cross.
That's right.
And it's wonderful. And you'll never guess who was originally one of the nuns.
I do have a guess on this one,
and
I love the story.
Yeah.
You know, it's a person who we all know and love.
We love them.
A person who
shops
is very well-dressed because they shop for the airport. Deep discount prices. $0 for...
Only cost you prison time.
Right.
That's it.
And I guess that one actually may be coming soon for our friend Sam Brinton.
Yeah, The mad nuclear man-woman that likes to shop at the airport.
Anyway, we were told finally they were able to break the whatever ceiling there is against people who dress in women's clothes and are nuclear scientists.
Yeah.
whatever window that is, ceiling that is.
Yeah, he broke
they've
it.
Broken it.
Yeah, so he's now in prison. Anyway, we're thinking... You know, maybe if we had, you know, any kind of justice in this country. Anyway, back to the nuns. Do you remember the nuns went and they were going to go for the Dodgers? right? They were invited for the Dodgers for a big transgender night.
And not even just like a pride night. Okay, this group comes in, they're correct. Offensive. It was a Hero of the Community Award.
Right. Right. For all of the things that they have done. Mm-hmm. Okay. So anyway, people were like, I don't think so. And so the Dodgers were like, hey, our fans are kind of pissed. So they cancel. But then, thank you, ESG. Thank you, Biden administration. Thank you, public-private partnerships, for getting the average person out of the driver's seat. So we now know that the California Teachers Union called the Dodgers up and went, I don't think so. They were part of the pressure campaign, and apparently the ones, because, you know, students' lives are at stake. And if you don't have the nuns.
If you don't have the fake the nuns doing stripteases on the cross with Jesus, the kids will die?
The kids will die.
Wow. Okay. These are very vulnerable lives.
Very vulnerable lives. Okay. So they caved and they agreed with the California Teachers Union because, you know, and I think this might be a little unfair of the teachers union to say to them, but they said in their letter to the Dodgers, our students are watching what happens on and off the field. Now, call me old school, but that sounds like a threat. Call me old school. I don't think a teacher's union should be using our children as a threat. But maybe that's just me.
It's a great, we were just talking about this a little bit off the air, in a situation, a hypothetical situation where you're out somewhere and the children come up to you and they give you the very sad eyes and they say, please, may I have more, please? Will you please buy my candy to support my Little League tea or whatever? And of course, you know, most of the time it's not real, but it's a kid's asking you for something. And so you kind of feel obligated.
Oh, geez, what am I going to say? Okay,
No, sure.
I would rather, if it's a scam, look, I'm not going to give you 10 bucks for the candy, but I'll give you a buck because you're out working at least.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Giving it a whirl.
Look,
sir,
I could tell you about my soccer team, but it doesn't exist. This is actually
exactly.
Just a sham. You know what? I respect your honesty and your thievery.
But this is a version of that where I do not respect the honesty or thievery.
Yeah.
Because they just use, oh, well, your kids are going to kill themselves. I mean, think of... Every once in a while, I really do have sympathy for these parents going through this because, I mean, if you think about it, we talk about this all the time. What's the truth, right? The truth is a boy's a boy, a girl's a girl, right? But when you're a parent, right?
And hold on just a second. Mm-hmm. For future tapes to be played in the court of law, I completely disagree with
that. Okay, there you go.
All right, good. Now go ahead.
You're out of the gulag for another day. But, you know, we know what the truth is here. But if you're one of these parents, right, your kid is going through a very emotional, you know, trying time. They are incredibly sad. They are questioning everything about themselves. You try to get them help from a medical professional, and that medical professional tells you if you don't go along with the crazy progressive treatments we want to throw at you, your son, your daughter will kill themselves. Yes. You might have to deal with a daughter instead of a son, but that's much better than a dead son, right? Like, that is legitimately what they tell these parents.
Correct,
and
I know.
And they're terrified by this.
I know.
And I, it is extortion.
It is. It is. And evil. And evil. So, listen, thank you, Bud Light, for helping that community do that to us. I appreciate it. Target, thank you. Thank you for keeping all those secrets from the kids, from the parents, from the kids. It's great. It's right. We're going to shop for our school supplies there in Target, get all their school clothes, so then they can go to school. And with your money, Target, you're telling the teachers, you go ahead and keep all that really important information away from mom and dad. So thank you for that. By the way, if you would like to
you know, have your voice heard, go to telltargetstop.com. Telltargetstop.com. This is actually a petition that's going to be delivered to Chip and Joanna Gaines, who I really feel bad for because I love Chip and Joanna. Love them. Love them. Love them. Think they're really good people. Think Magnolia is wonderful. They have changed an entire town. Mm-hmm. And I just love them. However, I also know that this has to be driving them nuts and people have to take a stand. And so this position is just asking them to be a voice within Target to help restore sanity here. Also, you'll get all the information where you can email Target executives. He used the word Target. Yes, because I'm talking about Target. He's calling for violence. Telling them to stop normalizing transgenderism with our children and tweet to Chip and Joanna. Tell them that we stand with them but need their help with Target. It's Chip and Joanna. You can just tweet them, but go to telltargetstop.com.
I don't know how this would work, but if you were to get an indication that they were working on this behind the scenes, would that be satisfying to you?
Yeah, if I heard from Joanna. I don't really trust Chip. Don't really.
If Chip told you, you'd just be like, no,
I don't believe you, Chip.
Let me talk to Joanna. I know who wears the pants in the family.
No, I mean, because I'm conflicted on that because part of it is speaking out publicly, but they probably do have a lot of internal influence.
Oh my gosh, yes.
There.
They have to.
I don't even know
they
how.
They have to.
I was watching the Succession finale, which aired this weekend, mm-hmm. and they have the little... The lead up is like, hey, here's all these shows that are coming up. And you see Chip and Joanna's face. They've got some HBO show coming up.
Yeah, which may
and
cause them to be silent.
How they have successfully.
Yeah.
They are, again, they're not an outward conservative. Like, they're not like conservative activists, as far as
no,
I know.
No, they're not activists.
But they're religious. But
they are outwardly religious, but not activists.
But like the fact that an outwardly religious and maybe somewhat conservative couple is able to be allowed in Target at all and on HBO at all is a real, I think, a victory for conservative culture and religious values.
Yes, it's not really a victory. It's the way things should be.
A victory in 2023.
Yeah, okay, you know? Yeah. In some dystopian Blade Runner sort of way.
Like 2018, we'd be like, of course, obviously.
Hey, they didn't kill the home improvement people. So let's mark that up as a...
Yeah. But it is... So it's a tough balance for somebody like that, I do think. And I think, you know,
no,
you've been thoughtful on this when you've been talking about this, because I think you really do...
I love them.
Yeah.
I love them. I think they're great. Don't know them. Wouldn't mind, you know, you want to stop by.
I got some questions about my house.
But
bring some stuff from your bakery.
Right.
Which is delicious.
Telltargetstop.com. Go there now.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program. And don't forget, rate us on iTunes.
Welcome to the Glenn Beck program. Now, I want you to, if you're on the side of the road, pull over. And I want you to notice the man who the Tribune in his own state, a rag of a newspaper, says, he's just out of control. He's an extremist. is coming on the air here in just a minute. And you're going to see him flaming angry. This is the extremist flaming angry version of Senator Mike Lee. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Glenn, I'm just foaming at the mouth here, just getting ready to, you know, I've got to live up to the hype after that intro.
I know. And usually a flaming, angry extremist starts with, hey, Glenn. Mike, I know you are really upset, and I am as well. I think the GOP, I've told you this for a long time, you guys have to hit it out of the park before this next election. Otherwise, the Republicans are done. I gave McCarthy the benefit of the doubt. I thought he was playing it well. What the hell happened, Mike? What happened?
Yeah, you know, look, the Republicans in the House got off to a really good start, and that was very complimentary of Speaker McCarthy when they passed the Limit Save Grow Act. Because it had a lot of really good reforms in it. Now, I don't think any of us had any certainty that it would end up becoming law that way. We knew it would have to go through set of negotiations, and we would end up with something perhaps slightly less than what the Limit Save Grow Act proposed. While not perfect, that bill was something I was eager, willing, and ready to support, and could have supported even something a little less than that.
Hold on, Mike. Hold on. Hold on just a second. Take a breath. Try to reel yourself back in. I just love this. For anybody who ever says, hey, he's an extremist, this is him hot. So go ahead, Mike.
Sometimes I have to interpret people that when I say this could have been better for me, that means this is absolutely horrible. And you know, a lot of my colleagues would be using words that begin with an F.
Right.
And you use really mad.
Right. You use the H word as in horrible.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Sometimes even heck.
Yeah.
That's been known to happen too. But look, this thing. The Limit Save Grow Act, as passed by the House, would have saved raised the debt ceiling by $1.5 trillion. And it would have saved in year one alone something in the neighborhood of about $1 trillion in just the first year. Depending on which accounting method you used, it was either a little under or a little over $1 trillion saved in the first year alone, and would have saved about $5 trillion over the 10-year budget window. But the New Deal just suspends the debt ceiling until January 1st of 2025. And many people are estimating that means a $4 trillion debt ceiling increase. Mm-hmm. There are other people, some on the House are now saying that it might actually be closer to $6 trillion. Nobody knows for sure.
What the hell? What happened? What happened? Well, I mean, you know, no Reins Act. I would take this exact thing if you gave me the Reins Act.
Yeah. I think I could go there as well. The exact same thing, even with as weak as the other protections are. If they threw in the Reins Act, I could probably go there. But they took out the Reins Act and substituted it for a regulatory pay-as-you-go measure, which sounds pretty nice at the outset in Section 263 of the bill, until you get to Section 265 of the bill that makes clear that the director of OMB, in his own unlimited discretion, reviewable discretion, can waive it. So it doesn't really do anything.
What?
It claims to have an automatic CR to cut spending by 1% if spending bills aren't agreed to. But when you read the fine print on that, as I've done, it doesn't do that. It gives Congress a 3-month waiting period in which to enact an omnibus to get around the 1% cut altogether.
Mm.
So frankly, Glenn, There's not a whole lot of give here. If this is a quid pro quo, as any negotiation between Republicans and Democrats should be, there's a whole lot of quid and not much quo. And we got kind of screwed here.
So how is he defending this? Why are others defending this? I mean, what happens next, Mike? Is it over? Or have they just reversed the situation to where now the Democrats have the high ground, and we again are trying to defend a hill that is just going to get bloody and we'll just get smeared?
Yeah, that's the thing, is that we had achieved a lot of high ground. Public opinion was starting to cut in our favor on this. And had he been able to hold out for just even a few more days, I think the negotiating posture would have improved substantially. And I think the big mistake here was moving forward with this without consulting actual conservatives who actually wanted to cut a lot of actual unnecessary spending and otherwise bring about pro-growth policies, and instead decided to just rely on the uniparty to do the work for them, which has become an all too easy and common tactic here. And perhaps he believed, I like Speaker McCarthy, I really do, and I've appreciated the fact that he has tried to keep me up to date on a lot of this stuff. I think he genuinely believes that this stuff will do more than it will. But I have this nasty habit, Glenn, of insisting on reading the operative language before I'm asked to vote on it. And I've read it, and I don't think this does what he thinks it does.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. So is there a battle between the Republicans, and can it, I mean, I would assume the Democrats are all going to vote for this. They say they're angry, but they're not. You know, they get unlimited spending. They get whatever they want, really. So are the Democrats going to be united in this in the end? And or is there a chance that the Democrats will split on this and the Republicans will split? And so there's nothing that happens.
Yeah, well, it's dangerous business to speak for any other member of Congress. I will predict right now that you'll end up seeing this uniting Democrats in a way that it will not unite Republicans.
Correct.
I think you may well, you're likely to have more Democrats vote for this in both chambers than Republicans. But regardless, this is something that will have the support of a lot of Democrats. It will definitely have the support of more Democrats in the Senate than it has Republicans. And that should tell us something. Look, elections are supposed to have consequences, and they should matter here. We're negotiating this almost as if we hadn't just taken control of one house of Congress, which we had, and almost as if there hadn't been a big debate specifically on this type of legislation, which there was, and which was supposed to lead to a better result. The other thing, Glenn, is what frustrates me about this is he's acting as if we really are under the gun, as if we have to do this.
We're not.
Or Armageddon is going to ensue. But, you know, Secretary Yellen has now magically affirmed that the true X date in her judgment is now June 5th. It was June 1st, just a few days ago. Then she moved it to June 5th.
And that's a lie, Mike. She would, and the president would have to say, we're not paying and prioritizing what bills. They would choose to default. It wouldn't happen because of any negotiation. They would have to choose to default. Am I right or wrong?
You are right. And it's also true that there are a number of financial analysts and policy experts in this area who look at the daily receipts and outlays, budget information put out by the Treasury Department, and say that we might well make it all the way to June 15th without actually running short on anything. And that if we did, the influx of cash that we get from the quarterly tax payments coming in on June 15th would be more than enough to take us probably well into, if not to the end of July.
No, he's just...
I'm not saying we should wait till the end of the line to do this. I've been advocating that we start on this since January. But my point is, why now? Why is it all of a sudden now that they say, this is imminent, it's immediate, the whole world's going to blow up? That's not true. We're not going to default. Default was never really on the table. It still isn't. So it's better to get this right than to get it done fast under this false pretense that we have to do this immediately. It's just not true.
Well, Mike, I thank you for fighting, and I know there's others in the Senate that are fighting against this, but I think you should make it very clear to all those who hate Donald Trump that you may have just handed him the nomination for the Republican Party, because the people, you had one shot. You had one shot, and I think you blew your one shot. Not you, but I'm saying the Republicans blew their one shot. And if they don't pull this one way out of the fire, I would accept this exact deal, except with the RAINS Act. That's not good, but it's much better than this. And that only restores government to the way it was supposed to be in the first place. But anyway, I digress. I'm not as calm as you are, Mike.
But at the end of the day, Glenn, this makes me very concerned. Look, I'll support whoever gets the nomination. I wish Donald Trump were still president today. If he's the nominee, I'm happy to support him. I'm happy to support someone else if they do it too. I worry about our ability to elect anyone president of the United States as a Republican if we do stuff like this.
Yep.
Because when people look at this, they're right to ask.
No,
Republicans like these, who needs Democrats?
This
is what Democrats do. This is the uniparty in action, and it's wrong.
You didn't hear me say that you just made him president. I said you made him the nominee. Whether any Republican can be can win now with a bunch of people like this is beyond me. I don't know who's going to walk through a wall of fire. I don't know who's going to say, no, well, they're doing the right thing. The people at 62% were saying enough of the spending, enough. and you just gave them $4 to $6 trillion and no real ceiling? Good luck. Good luck, Republicans. Good luck. Mike, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Glenn.
You bet.
Thanks for having me
up. You bet. Bye-bye. Senator Mike Lee. Now, we're going to go to somebody who's known to be a little more reserved, Chip Roy. And we'll see if we can get him ramped up a little bit. I tried to hold Mike back as much as possible, but...
I think it's interesting he signaled he'd be open to maybe just doing that Reins Act version of this instead of, or I don't know if he was saying
in 30 it. Seconds, explain the Reins Act.
Basically, we know how these three-letter agencies come out and just be like, hey, we're changing a rule and it's going to affect our economy by hundreds of millions and billions of dollars. And they just do that stuff. The Reins Act, one of the things, main things it does, is basically makes it so Congress would have to pass it. If they're making a law that's big enough to spend to change the economy by, I think it's over $100 million, it has to go through Congress.
Well,
that's all.
The latest is on food. John Kerry was introducing this weekend what we have to do at the farm level. And it's going to cause starvation. It will. That you will have people who cannot find food all over the world, and this one will hit us as well. The Reins Act would stop that. But thank you, Speaker McCarthy, for proving that I was wrong last week and absolutely right about you when you were running.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Glenn Beck program. I'm going to get right to Chip Roy because he's on a tight schedule here. So let's go to Chip now. Hello, Chip. How are you?
Glenn, I'm doing great. Great to be on. I'm on a tight schedule because we got to go fight to try to stop this thing. But happy to be on the show.
Yeah. So I really think that Speaker McCarthy has just given the nomination to Donald Trump for any of these, you know, weasels who were like, I don't want Donald Trump because he's an extremist. You just gave him the nomination, in my opinion. Not that Florida, you know, Ron DeSantis is going to agree with this deal, but nobody's going to trust the Republicans after this. We gave you the benefit of the doubt, McCarthy, and this is what you return. It's what, $4 trillion or is it $6 trillion that they can raise the debt ceiling up to in the next couple of years?
Well, let's just take it piece by piece. I mean, look, you're right that this is, I think, a terrible quote-unquote deal. And for your listeners out there who are smarter than the average listener, what we get is a date certain for a debt ceiling increase, January 1st, 2025. There is no actual dollar amount. So what that means is you essentially have an uncapped increase in the debt ceiling to a date certain. That date certain happens to fall in the middle of a lame duck Congress, by the way, right? Or lame duck presidency, if we're lucky. What do we get for that probably $4 trillion of additional debt or more, depending on what happens with it being uncapped and able to be potentially extended? We get, at best, in my opinion, if I'm being as generous as I can be, to the people that negotiated this, is a two-year freeze in spending, roughly. It might go up a little, might be down a little, but it's basically a freeze, truly. And that's only for 2 years of actual caps. And for that, you know, you're going to see a slight bending of the post-COVID curve. Now, what does that mean? You'll see in the Wall Street Journal, and you see all these people out there saying, hey, they're bending the curve. This is historic. Uh-huh. They're flattening it. Yeah. We heard all that same crap during COVID, by the way. This is just taking the post-COVID spending and freezing it for a couple of years while we continue to feed the beast, the federal bureaucracy, and we do nothing to end the IRA, subsidized unreliable energy. We have minor work requirements. We basically increase the age for SNAP and TANF from 49 to 54 and call that a win while not touching Medicaid. We have no Reins Act pulling back the regulatory state. We get something called administration paygo to offset the cost of regulations, but they can waive it, which means it's nothing. We uphold the student loans and punt it to the courts to make the decisions about the $500 billion of picking winners and losers in student loans. The IRS stays expanded, minus basically $1.4 billion. Like, you really can't make this up. And with all due respect to the leadership, they say it's historic. They miscalculated. They slipped into their old ways. I am going to meet with them today. I'm going to keep fighting. I'm trying to make it clear that I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt that this wasn't sinister, that they just slipped into their old ways and felt like, well, we got to do a deal. Yeah, you can't do that. The no votes are mounting. And if you're a listener out there, make sure every one of your members of Congress know, get their voice. Your voices need to be heard. Vote no on this. We can still kill this and start over and do the right thing.
I mean, I'd take this if you had the RAINS Act, but you got nothing. You got nothing. You have no reins, if you will, on this horse that is just being whipped to death in spending.
Correct. I mean, that is 100% correct. We got out of the deal that we did, limit, save, grow, for a $1.5 trillion debt ceiling increase into early next year. We got a lot of really good things. Now, look, I'm not saying whether I think we could have gotten every single piece of that. I understand we've got to negotiate. I think that was the right starting place. But you tell me you're going to go jack this out 2 years to almost $4 trillion, and you're going to get literally not one actual full thing on the list of stuff we put in the Limit, Save, Grow Act. Not one thing. Everything was like some fractional piece of something on the list so they could say they did something, right? $1.4 billion off of the $80 billion of the IRS, and then say, see, we did something for the IRS. No, you left $78.6 billion of expanded IRS in place over 10 years, and you're trying to sell that to me as a victory. That's just not correct. This is old swamp thinking. This is a course correction.
Let's just cut the crap. Old swamp thing. This, nothing is changing with the Republican Party because the leadership, they're all swamp monsters. They're all swamp monsters. And until those swamp monsters, are put back out to pasture, you're not going to have anything change. You're not. You have a lot of good Republicans like you that have come up and they actually mean what they say and say what they mean. But until those swamp monsters are taken out and you know, let them go to their nursing homes, nothing's going to change. I don't know why we should give them the benefit of the doubt that, oh, you know, we made a mistake. What? You had everything going for you. Everything. Now what's going to happen? The president made a deal. He compromised. Now the Republicans are, it's just these extremists being holding hostage the Republican Party. It's the same thing over again.
Yeah, Glenn, look, I agree with every word of it. Just make sure I'm being very clear here. I personally think this was a complete and total sellout of everything that we accomplished in January, everything that we did in the first Limit, Save, and Grow Act, and everything we accomplished with H.R. 2.
You're right.
I think it is a betrayal of the power-sharing arrangement we put in place that would protect the Republican Party to make sure we could advance the ball forward. We are not blind to the fact that we have to figure out how to get 218 votes. We understand that's hard. We had a process that was working. That process was completely abandoned last week. The deal was cut, and that was a betrayal of the agreement that we had reached in order to create something that we thought would work. That's what I'm getting at.
So
I'm going to try to fix that today. If I cannot, in the Rules Committee, when I go fight this in the Rules Committee, if I can't kill it, if we can't kill it on the floor tomorrow, then we're going to have to then regroup and figure out the whole leadership arrangement again.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got it. McCarthy, I gave him the benefit of the doubt. I wasn't for him. I thought he was a swamp monster. And just last week, I'm like, I think I got to give him credit. He's playing this very well. Now, he's just betrayed me again. I give the benefit of the doubt to the Republican, and they just shiv me in the chest.
So I want to be as clear as I can be. This is not the end of this. This is the process that we started in January. We showed that you can govern conservatively and win. We did it. We were doing it. They abandoned it. Yep. It is our job now to course correct. again, I've got you. You know, you, not to quote Rumsfeld, an old Bushian, but you go to war with the army you got. Look, the bottom line is we were winning and we were demonstrating how to govern conservatively. So we're going to go do that today. We're going to have a press conference in 45 minutes. The 20 are strong. There are others that are with us. We are going to make our message be loud and clear. I'm going to make my message loud and clear in the Rules Committee, and then we will keep moving forward, trying to earn votes and try to build up where we need to head to do exactly what you just said. We got to make sure the American people are inspired. What I was trying to tell Republicans here is if we lose and we lose the vote because we get rolled, make it be the Dems and the squishes in our conference that roll us.
Yes.
Don't go and roll and cut a deal and then go try to sell me that it's not, you know, selling me out, because that's what they're doing. They're trying to snow me.
Always.
They're trying to snow the American people and say, oh, this is a great deal.
Always.
It is not. You know, that chart that's going around that I put out on my Twitter account, social media, where I make very clear the side-by-side comparison of where we were and where we ended up. And it's not even close.
No. I know you have to run. So what do you want the American people to do? Anybody who still, I mean, honestly, I don't know how many times you guys can say, call your congressman, because, I mean, really? We have.
Well, let me back up and just say, for 5 months, we actually were winning. H.R. 2 was, in fact, an historic position for Republicans to take on the border. The first Limit Save Grow Act, that was a pretty historic bill. So now they abandoned us. They failed. They cut a bad deal. It hasn't been passed yet. Just get involved over the next 48 hours. Make sure every Republican knows this is a bad deal. Make your voice heard loudly. Do it on social media. Do it to their offices. We're going to fight up here, and then we're going to regroup and figure out what the next step is to hold the line and make sure we're going to get our leadership arrangement such that it's reflecting conservative principles again. I promise we're going to keep fighting.
Okay.
The 20 aren't flinching, Glenn. We're just starting.
Good. Love to have you and anybody else in that 20 that would like to come in and talk tomorrow about the progress, because we have 48 hours. I'd love to have you back tomorrow, Chip, and just give us an update.
Okay.
Thank you.
Happy to do it. Either I'll do it or someone else.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. That is the problem. We do have people in there that are really fighting hard. For the first time, I think we have 20 people that will stand. But it's all these mamby-pamby wishy-washy. Look what the left has done to the country. Why? Because they will sell out every principle they have. They don't care who they stand with. And they're standing with Marxists. Well, I think we should give them some more money. I mean, I don't think it's... I mean, I don't want to be an extremist. You're being an extremist. You're standing for the Constitution. What is wrong with the American people? When did the Constitution, the longest-running Constitution in all of the history of man, the average Constitution last 17 years?
Hi, it's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0, my annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee? Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit FearlessArmyRollCall.com to secure your spot.